If I have learned anything in 40 years doing what I do, and in 20 years doing talk shows on the, well, actually going back farther in being on Morning with the Mayor with Bill Hudnut, I've learned that there's multiple sides to every story. Some would say it's like a pentagon, that there could be as many as five sides to every story. And the situation that has occurred with the Flanner House Elementary Charter School has caused a lot of concern and consternation among parents, among people in education, among ordinary taxpayers, because all the taxpayers of the state of Indiana pay the cost of every public school, whether it's regular, public, or charter. And even, I was somewhere last night, Pat Rowe, and I can't say who I talked to, but it was very surprising some of the concerns that they had about this whole situation. Pat Rowe is the president of the board of directors of the Flanner House Elementary Charter School. They are an independent board. They have no connection to Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated. There was the meeting, and she's here today, quite honestly, to tell, you know, where they are. It's my understanding that there's a movement to perhaps try to reverse, decisions, but rather than prejudge or put words in Pat Rowe's mouth, we welcome Pat Rowe. Pat, welcome.
Thank you, Amos.
Let me first, this has not been maybe your best week. How would you describe the last week to 10 to, you know, two and a half weeks?
Well, Amos, I'll say this. It is an unfortunate set of circumstances that has led us here today. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been, as I characterized in the parent meeting, it is the second most difficult thing that has ever happened in my life. Mm-hmm. The first one is when I buried my husband 15 years ago. And I say that because of the impact that this decision has had on the families that were served by Flanner House.
Do you feel there was a rush to judgment?
Yes, I do. Because of the timing of this situation, I do not believe that the board members of Flanner House Elementary School were provided the necessary time by which to make a decision that resulted in the closing of the school. What I will go on record and say is that in a vote 5-1, it was voted to close the school. However, that was met with a lot of pressure, and the bottom line being told, it doesn't matter what you really conclude, we've already made the decision to close the school effective September 11. I have two memos here. Mm-hmm. One would be from the board. The other would be from the mayor's office.
Do you feel that the mayor's office had a gun to the head of the board, to the heads of the board members? You know, do this or else?
Yes. I believe that is the way the board interpreted that action.
A couple questions of some issues that are out in the community. And this is from parents at both of the parents' meetings on Thursday and Friday. And I go back to what happened this school year, where there were instances where students who were taking the eye test, eye step in real time, pointed out to their teachers that they, oh, this test is easy. This is fun. We saw these questions. We saw these subject matters in the practice test that we were having, in the practice exercises to get us ready. And there was a decision by the principal to call the State Department of Education and report a breach. When did the board know that report was made? And if it was, if you all knew it in March or April, why weren't parents notified that, hey, we have a potential breach, we have a potential problem, we don't know where it's going to lead, just wanted to let y'all know?
Absolutely, Amos. The principal immediately called me mm-hmm. when she discovered the breach. I told her immediately to act on her judgment in that, get that person out of the building immediately. Mm-hmm. The next two conversations were with the Indiana Department of Education and with the mayor's charter school office to share with them what the situation was that had occurred. From there, she did her investigation and provided documentation of such in terms of her conversations, not only with the teachers, the teachers that were bringing that information to her attention.
Should parents at some point, should the parents have been told?
At that point that we had the breach and the test was being taken, we did everything that we should have done. I'm not going to say that we couldn't have taken a chance or we couldn't have told parents at that time. Honestly, the only thing we would have been able to share with them at that point was that this occurred. Mm-hmm. We would not have been able to share next steps mm-hmm. because at that point, once you report an infraction, you're waiting on that body to get back with you on what they identify as the next steps. Now, my understanding is that from there, the mayor's office came in and spoke with teachers, and that's also when they spoke with students, mm-hmm. so that they could, at that point, also verify the facts that were provided to them. And at that point, those two bodies have their investigation. They have their notes on what has occurred. What, at that point, becomes then the protocol mm-hmm. is for you to immediately revise your procedures.
Right.
And at that point, you're waiting for the test to be scored or mm-hmm. analyzed, per se. Mm-hmm. And that process took until July mm-hmm. for that to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So when those results came in, the analyst out of the mayor's office came over and they discussed and walked through the evidence at that point, and their documentation supports that this was isolated to the coordinator at that point, the teachers, the students that were interviewed all indicated that this was coming out of one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it was conclusive at that time that, well, the next thing to do was to wait until the tests come back, and then you go down this next
So step in line. July, the city informed you that they had evidence that there was cheating. Is that correct?
No.
No. Okay.
We informed the city,
right,
that there was evidence of cheating, and that was the information that they used in order to begin their investigation.
Right. And then they came back and said, this looks to be confined to just one individual?
One individual, and third and fourth grade specifically. The fifth grade, they questioned whether or not what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth grade was supposed to be clean
mm-hmm.
because there had been no interaction with the test coordinator with that group of students or that particular staff person.
So there were questions about third and fourth grade, kind of on fifth grade, sixth grade, clean.
Yes.
At that point, again, hindsight 2020, at that point, should either, in your view, either the mayor's office should have publicly said, we have conducted an investigation and this is what we found and told the public, or should the board have told the public and prospective parents going in? Because again, it goes back to this, from the parents' point of view and from a lot of people in the community, this just kind of hit like a thunderclap and people are asking, wait a minute, where is the notification to the public, not just parents, but to all of us taxpayers, that something was going on?
Amos, I'll say this, that if we went out with information at that point to the public and to the parents, it still would have been inconclusive. because we had not received any information from DOE at that point as to the criticality and what the next step should have been. Mm-hmm. We did not have information at that point that said that our test scores were invalidated. Mm-hmm. Possibly there could have been a window of opportunity to do retesting even. But at that point, no decision was made based upon this notification or this fact that this breach had occurred because we didn't know what next steps were.
And this was in July, correct?
This was, yes. The test results must have come out sometime maybe the third week of July.
The third week of July. So basically 3 to 4 weeks before the start of school at Flanner House, you knew from the city there were concerns. You were waiting for the investigation and the data and possible sanctions from the state. At any point in July, did the city say this school or give you all any reason to believe that this school was in jeopardy of closing?
No.
Did the city raise these other alleged issues of performance, things like you didn't have quorum, the board couldn't reach a quorum, there were issues of finances, there were issues of this and that that have nothing to do with cheating, but also seem to be one of the reasons to close the school now? Did the city either directly or indirectly give you any indication that, Pat, this school is shaky, and if y'all don't correct this, we're going to shut this thing down this year?
Amos, it never came to me in that manner until August the 18th, when I was asked to attend a meeting at the Department of Ed to discuss the findings. Mm-hmm. That was when I came to understand what the mayor's office felt about the whole situation.
When did school start?
I want to say...
Did it start the same time as IPS would have been, right at the beginning?
July 28th.
Yes. You all started in July 28th.
If it was in July 28th, it was that following Monday.
August 3.
Right. The parents said that they had been in school for 3 weeks at the point that we had that parent meeting, so it had to be that first week of August.
So school had started 15 calendar days, if this was the 18th, before you got any idea that this was serious. But as I understand it, the state of Indiana, DOE, wanted a bunch of sanctions, none of which was close the school now.
That is correct. Let me say this, that I have had a number of discussions with the mayor's office, specifically their analyst, Jackie Ganser, about issues related to the school. I'm never going to say that we have not had those discussions. However, in the academic year of 13-14, we had increased our overall effectiveness in several areas. Now, I can't say whether or not those areas were sufficient enough to remove doubt, but let me speak specifically to an issue that I hear that continues to come up, and that's our ability to have a quorum. Mm-hmm. I have documented 8 board meetings that we held during the 13-14 academic school year board meetings. And one of the concerns that had been expressed by the mayor's office was our inability to make quorum. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where I have had board members leave the board. We have done recruitment fairs and events in order to ask individuals to come out and express their interest.
Mm-hmm. To be on the board.
To be on the board. Mm-hmm. And we have specifically recruited members from those recruitment fairs to be on the board, and they're there now. But what I can say is that, yes, there were some concerns expressed in that area in the past, but it was a point that I made sure that we were going to meet in terms of not being in violation of not meeting standards with regard to our board quorums.
Was there ever a point in the 2013-2014 school year when the Office of Educational Innovation and the Mayor's Charter School Office give you all a written warning or any kind of written notice that we have serious concerns? If y'all do not clean up this act, then stuff will happen.
There were no written warnings received.
You know, Pat, you and I work for big companies where employees, if they're not, you know, if management has a concern about whether an employee is doing their job, you're called in, you're written up, you're put on, what is it, probation or what is it, a PIP, personal improvement plan, all this kind of little fancy gobbledygook. And hey, here's the concerns we have. If you don't clean up your act, Mr. and Ms. Employee, you will be out the door. Was there anything like that from the authorizer of this school to indicate to you all that this school was in jeopardy?
In the academic year of 13-14, no, there was nothing that was presented to me in the terms of a document that said, if you don't do this, your charter will be revoked.
But there was oral, there was communication orally and through body language that stuff would happen if acts weren't cleaned up?
Amos, I can't speak to body language or, but what I'll say is this, that the charter school office comes to the school monthly to meet with the staff. So that is a frequent visit. Over this past academic year, yes, they have attended the majority of our board member, our board meetings. So they have firsthand information and knowledge of what's going on.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me that the staff of the Office of Charter Schools of this city has attended the board meetings of Flanner House on a regular basis, which of course they're public meetings, so anybody could come. They have observed the board in action. They have observed the dynamics. They have gone in the school. And at no time prior to August 18th did they send you all any written documentation that they had serious concerns with the operation of the school, and if you didn't correct them by time certain, the blade would fall. Nothing like that.
No, nothing came down that blatant that if I didn't do this, this would occur. And as it related to board governance, the issues that were placed on the table with regard to us, the board not doing a self-evaluation, the board not reaching out to faculty and parents in order to understand any challenges that they had. Those things were done. There was a board survey that was done utilizing the form that the mayor's office provided that was issued out to all board members. In addition to that, I did a SWOT analysis that not only was completed by members of the board, I asked for the administrative team, the teachers, and then also parents to complete that information, and that was brought back. There is and has been acknowledgement of these efforts with regard to the mayor's office. But again, I can say that I did not take that the performance challenges that have been addressed with the board in the past had led to a decision that came to me on August the 18th that said that our charter would be revoked.
Did the school receive a performance evaluation for the 2012-2013 school year? It would be called a performance analysis?
The school may have received that information. What I remember in some notes that the office, the mayor's office provided, there existed those overall performance evaluations. However, let me say this. There was never an instance where anybody from the office came in and then came to our board meetings and talked through any of those performance analyses?
I asked you that question for a reason, because I'm looking on the website of the city's Office of Educational Innovation. I have to mention that in case they are listening, that I'm looking at the same thing that they should be pulling up on their website right now. And I skimmed through your performance evaluation from the city, from the Ballard administration for 2011-2012. And for nearly all, there were a couple of metrics where they said you did not meet standards. All the other metrics, it said you meet standards. On the city's website, there's an indication for 2012-2013 performance framework, and absolutely nothing is listed on the city's website for that. So I'm going to ask one more time. You, as the president of the board, do not recall receiving a copy from the Office of Educational Innovation of the evaluation of the school for the 2012-2013 school year as to whether Flanner House Elementary Charter School met and was meeting standards?
No, I did not personally receive that document. However, what would have led me to believe that there are no challenges in terms of our 2012-13 year was the fact that we achieved ISTEP standards during that year. So therefore, in 11-12, there were some performance challenges that were put forth to us because of the D rating that we had received on ISTEP. What that means is that you have a responsibility of a school to show progression to make sure that you can come off of that performance challenge.
I'm sure this is an oversight on the part of the city's website that they have not posted the performance framework for Flanner House Elementary Charter School for 2013-2014. Mayor's office, you have my email address. Please send me that now, because I would like to know, in fairness, what the last evaluation of this school is. And we'll come back and hear Pat Rowe. And if you got questions, 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. It's After News with Amos, after these.
This is Sergeant Ray Poole of the Indiana State Police, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Let's start on
Indy's source for inspiration and prayer.
I'm sorry, Brother Poole. Let me start today with Ellen. Hi, Ellen.
Good afternoon. First of all, I'm an empathizer with the Flanner House situation. I'm a retired educator myself, so my heart goes out to everybody in the situation. I am holding the 2014-15 Indianapolis Great School Guide, and for Flanner House, it has been listed as a 10 out of 10 rating and an A as far as the letter grade. Is this where the controversy is coming in, that these were not accurate, or is this, if the school has this rating, then help me understand why it's closed?
Ah, that's a great question. She's looking at the rating from a year ago when virtually every Flanner House student passed ISTEP. And this was in 2013. Pat, is this when some of the questions initially were raised by the city, because your passing rate, as I remember, was about in the mid 60% in English language arts, the high 60% in math, and then all of a sudden there was this huge jump, a great performance, and that caused some people to raise eyebrows?
Yes, Amos, that's exactly what the situation was. In 2012, Flanner House was rated 68.5% in the English and Language Arts category and 74% in the Mathematics category.
And that's similar to the performance of the district schools here in the township schools here in Indianapolis and Marion County, and higher than the performance of IPS.
Yes. In 2013, after the ISTEP results were released, it was reported that Flanner House had a rating in English and Language Arts of 97.7%, which was a 29.2% gain, and 93.2% in Mathematics, which was a 19.2% gain. However, what occurred after the fact, and it really was the result of the mayor's office asking for the second time a look back at the scores, DOE came back with some altered performance ratings for 2013. And those were the actual scores that were achieved by Flanner House in the English and Language Arts category was 84%. The gain would have only been 15.5%. In the mathematics category, the real number should have been 82.9%, which would have resulted in an 8.9% increase.
So wait. The Department of Education actually lowered the I-STEP performance from 2013?
Yes.
But they did not, did they make those changes in the public database?
No.
Wait a minute. You've got a document from the Department of Education that says that is this a recalibration of your scores?
Yes.
That they recalibrated your I-STEP scores for 2013.
Yes.
But if I go to the Department of Education's website, I will not see those recalibrated scores?
That's accurate. And let me correct something. I'm looking at a memo to Dr. Michelle Walker from Brandon Brown.
Okay.
And this is the highlights of that information there.
So this is from the city. Brandon Brown is the director of charter schools for the city, and this doctor, whatever, she's with DOE. So
yes,
this is the city recalibrated?
After going back and having the conversation with DOE.
How can an authorizer of a school have grades recalibrated for their school?
I can't answer that.
They're getting ready to make me have to write a made-for-TV movie for Netflix or something. I appreciate the call, Ellen. Let me go to Average at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day.
And to your guest. You know, I've listened to your viewers in the past say that city officials and some of these educators out here are attacking black children's education, which this pretty much reinforces that theory. My question is, why has nobody come up with the point that North Central High School has been busted twice for tampering with their national test scores, their I-STEP scores, and it has been reported on TV news, but yet they remain open. But it seems like the same thing has kind of gone down with Flanner House, maybe, and they're being attacked, and they're going to be closing up. So why has nobody bought that argument up that North Central's still open, and they've been busted twice for cheating on their standard test?
Now, you've raised a question, Pat Rowe. The caller brings up that question. There was also a private school. I think it's MTI Academy. It's a religious-based school, and one of their grades, I-STEP scores, were invalidated. And that school is still open as part of the voucher program. So is there a different standard here?
It sounds like, hang on. Now, before you answer that question, it does sound like, and it shouldn't matter if it's a township school, if it's a private religious school, or even if it's a charter school like Flanner House. A learning institution has cheated on their test scores, but the only one that's really paying the price is Flanner House, while all these other schools, especially North Central, who's been busted twice, walks.
Pat, you want to respond?
I think the caller really kind of shared the perspective, and this definitely is an unfortunate situation, and one that I don't believe is as isolated as what it's being made out to be. And I tell you, one of the true challenges, I think, has been for that staff at that school, including myself, is to have these allegations made without any evidence that supports it.
Let me bring this up. And I mentioned this on the air. The city and the state says there's evidence of tampering on students' essay answer papers. There's evidence of erasures on the bubble answer sheets. I do know for a fact I have asked for that information to be made public. I hear several news organizations, including probably some of the ones that are in our control room, have made that request. I repeated that request yesterday to the Indiana State Department of Education. Some of their answers, quite bluntly, were unsatisfactory. They're worried about, well, if you put an answer sheet on the front page of the Indianapolis Star, everybody will know the student that did it. No, they won't. Should that evidence be made public? Again, redacting staff members' names, redacting student names. But should the community, should taxpayers, should parents, should we all see the evidence of the cheating they're talking about?
I think at minimum, the individuals who are being accused should see that evidence. Mm-hmm. So when you put that in perspective, I think, yes, it will become public record. It will become public knowledge. But this whole situation has become public knowledge. And I honestly believe it could have been handled very differently if we had the opportunity to understand when it first became to their attention what we were dealing with. But we look at how many pass-throughs this information has gone through. We have initially the third party who was the owner of the test, mm-hmm. and their analysis process.
McGraw-Hill. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that that is very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. Then we had a second look back from the Department of DOE mm-hmm. at the request of the mayor's office that resulted in no finding.
This is for
2013. Mm-hmm. Here we are we're actually in 14-15, but as we exited 13-14 and entered 14-15, now we look back a third time and we have
different evidence.
Yes.
Let me go back to the phones and anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Thank
Hi.
You.
Hi.
And Mrs. Rowe, thank you for what you're doing. Questions. Just to pose, and let me pose them, and I'll just listen to the answers.
Okay.
It's fairly typical for a number of charter schools in town to have board members from large or prominent law firms or large or prominent CPA firms sitting on their boards. It's also somewhat typical for them to have real estate developers or brokers, commercial brokers, sitting on their boards. One question is, have those groups come forth as you've been trying to recruit board members in the last couple of years and offered to serve on your board? And number two, there's other charter schools that have received very large grants and funding from the Mine Trust. Has the Mine Trust provided any funding while you've been in need of funding? And then last, there's two brand new charter schools and one that's a year old, not far from where your school is, the Vision Academy, Indianapolis, the Academy of Excellence, and the Phelan School. And at least two of them do have people like that on their boards, and at least one of them has received a lot of financial help from the Mine Trust. How is enrollment coming at those schools, and are those three schools at the enrollment fairs to get your students? Those are my questions.
All right, Pat. Great questions.
The answers to your first two questions are no. No one from those entities have stepped forward to me and asked to be a part of our board. No to your second question. We have not received any funding from the Mine Trust. In terms of the receipt of the other schools on large gifts from the Mine Trust and support, well, I think you just basically said that to the listening audience.
Pat Rowe, you've been on the board of this school how long?
For 12 years. I started when this charter school movement began.
Let me ask this, because this is a point that the media has not covered in all of this. And correct me if I'm wrong. Flanner House had a private elementary school before charters began?
Absolutely.
They did?
Yes, they did.
See, I don't think that's something that's been reported on Channel 13 or Channel 8 or Channel 6 or Fox 59 4, whatever their name is this week, or in the Indianapolis Star. So there was a element. What grades were those elementary school? Was that elementary school? Was that K-3, K-2?
Amos, that's going to take me back
but
a little
was,
ways.
But it was a private?
Yes, and it was run by a very, very excellent Director of Education, Francis Malone, who mm-hmm. is well known in the community. And quite frankly, that was one of the reasons that Flanner House was able to be chartered in the first place, because we came from a private school environment that was rich and that was producing great individuals.
So this was the history of Flanner House is of a grassroots institution that was formed in 1898 to serve the then colored community. And it had, the legendary Dr. Cleo Blackburn, you know, do for self, self-help. And so the school had the Flanner House had a great child development center. And this was an extension of that, an elementary school. And when charters came along, they decided, hey, let's have a charter.
Yes, and the model was excellent because most of our children came directly out of the Child Development Center mm-hmm. and to the school. So you had a history of students that were being nurtured, that were being educated, and that could hold their own amongst any other
school. So this, of the three initial charter schools, 21st Century, Crystal House, this was the only one that was a self-contained school already ready to go.
Yes.
239-1310, let me go back to the phones, and another anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're fine. What's up?
I talked to you a little time back. You'd given me a name of someone I could talk to about this
Healthcare. Well, if you're talking about healthcare, that's not what I'm talking about right now, and you are not helping. You're blocking up my line because we're talking about education and charter schools and cheating and Flanner House, whatever. So I'm going to move on to Larry right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Larry. Larry?
Because they'll close down every charter school that we have that is all black. That's what their aim is to do. So we really need to do something about this. And I would ask you, ma'am, did you know anything about how those children were taken into a separate room and the teacher kicked out, and then they were interrogated by Jason Close's agents that he sent in?
No, sir.
Now, that is what happened. They took those kids into separate rooms, and what they did in the midday when they were at their weakest point, and interrogated them to contrive the answers that they got, that is the primary reason for the controversy right now. So I think we ought to look into that, and we need Jason Close to come on, Amos, and tell us what his plan is. I mean, he's going around promoting all these schools, and you mothers out there that are sending your kids to charter schools, you need to get right back to the district school immediately, because those are the only schools that have the funding to stay open and operate at cost. Maybe this is a good thing, Amos, these schools being weeded out, but all you parents, go right back to IPS. Because if you go to another charter school, the same thing's going to happen to you. You might have easier getting your kids on disability, but go to IPS. They have the same program, and we can make this district strong again. But if you go to charter schools, you see what's happening to you. And again, Jason Close needs to be investigated for whatever crimes he's committed.
All right, Larry, 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News Davis. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with Pat Rowe, the board chair of the Flanner House Elementary Charter School, after these.
This is Dr. Ian Smith from Celebrity Fit Club and the 50 Million Pound Challenge, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
We're with Pat Rowe, the board chair of Flanner House Elementary Charter School. I've got to ask, because when I was discussing this in my household, this was the question that was, you know how sisters are, was posed to me. The situation where the school had received the I-STEP materials for 2014, put them in a locked cabinet, and then nobody could find the key for the lock cabinet for 2 weeks. My household said, what? And that, to be honest about it, Pat, that kind of angered me and said, you know, for that, the school leader ought to go someplace else. Now, that's just her. It's me. Your reaction to that. I'm sure you've heard that buzz both in the parent meeting and out in the community as people have read the documentation.
Yes, Amos, I have heard that. And that is an inaccurate statement.
Okay.
The key to the cabinet where the tests were stored and locked was never lost.
Was never lost.
Was never lost. What had occurred was the principal's car was stolen. Her keys to her office door was in her purse in her car.
Mm-hmm.
The locks to the door were changed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The key to the cabinet where the tests were secured and locked were never missing.
They were never missing?
No.
In the investigation, the previous caller, Larry, brought up alleging that people from the city's charter school office were talking to students without parents present or without adults present, I'm sorry. Is what he said accurate?
Yes, it is. Not only were parents...
Are they authorized to do that under the charter?
No.
Is that something where potential legislation needs to be dealt with on that?
Yes.
Is there other because I know several legislators are concerned about this issue. From your point of view, what kinds of legislation should the state be looking at to prevent these kinds of things?
Well, I think anything that is reflective of due process as well as a check and balance should be entered into and looked at as it relates to how policy has developed on charter schools.
Are there individuals or you or others talking with attorneys to see what possibilities there may be under existing law in this situation?
There are several individuals who have come to the table that were present last Thursday and Friday
mm-hmm.
that are looking into many things associated with this. And those include all of those types that you just identified.
So let's call film at 11.
Okay.
All right. Let me go to Ronnie right quick at 239-1310. Ronnie, you got about a minute.
Thank you, Amos. And your guest, Miss, hold your head up, because I know what these people are trying to do. And to the listening audience, the reason why the mayor does what he does because you guys don't vote. You need to get out and vote. And then you can get him out of there. You don't vote, it is what it is. Thanks, Amos.
All right, let me go to Kara at 239-1310. Kara, you got about a minute.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was calling concerning the issues with the magnet schools and the different programs that's going on in the schools. I have had a problem with, I'm not going to say the actual school right now, because I'm still in the midst of it, but a principal actually told me that she's tired of black children, these are her words, I quote, coming to the schools with IEPs. And it made me very uncomfortable.
Hold it. Kara, you're telling me that a principal actually told that to your face?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Okay, here's the deal. What you need to do is report when it happened this year or last year?
Yesterday.
Then you need to report that teacher to the principal of that school. You then report.
There's a principal that said that to me.
Okay, fine. Then you need to go to the superintendent. Is this a public school district?
No, it's the township.
Okay, you need to go to the superintendent of that township.
Okay.
And go to the school board. I'll bet you if you go to the website of that township, the email. The email address of the superintendent is public record.
Okay.
Then you need
I didn't
to
know that.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
And you need to communicate that to the superintendent like now.
Okay. I will do that.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Maxine right quick at 239-1310. Maxine, you got about a minute.
Yes. You know, I'm a graduate from the Flanner House. I graduated from Flanner House Kindergarten. In 1946.
Oh, Lord.
And the Flanner House has always been a great sense of pride to me. And I'm not accustomed to hearing negative things spoken of Flanner House.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the people who work there deserve that kind of, the things that are going on now. The children don't deserve it.
All right, I appreciate it, Maxine. Dave Sims will have the last word at 239-1310 for today. Dave, you got a minute?
Yes, Mrs. Rowe, were you at the Concerned Clergy meeting Saturday?
No, sir.
Okay, well, Greg Taylor is working with you very intensely. You need to get in touch with him. Thank you very much, Amos.
All right. Somehow I get the feeling that perhaps Pat Rowe has already maybe talked to Senator Taylor. What are next steps?
Well, what's going on right now is that we're having a school fair for our parents.
Right.
Trying to look at what those transition steps are next. We're also looking at things in the office that have to be dealt with as it relates to the situation we've been placed in. On the other hand, I think our parents have a lot of hope that we in some way can have the situation looked at again and hope to save our school. Because there are a lot of special students and families that attend Flanner House, and it is a unique environment. And we're concerned about the supports that those students will receive as they exit our facility.
Pat Rowe is the president of the board of the Flanner House Elementary Charter School. Pat, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.